Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you realize that these days we're being watched? We're being watched more than we've ever been watched before. You go into a store and there are eyes on you. You are being watched. You might even be videotaped. People are watching you. You pay for something in the store, you use a credit card. Credit card companies are watching what it is you're buying, right? You shop online for something, these online merchants are paying attention to not only what you're buying, but even what you're looking at. And they're giving you specific ads that have to do with what you seem interested in. People are watching you. You go through an intersection, and there might very well be a camera at that intersection watching whether you're going through a red light or not. Now, some of you remember Wolfgang, who was an intern here with me several years ago. He was back visiting from New York, where he serves as a pastor now. He borrowed my car. And about 3 weeks after he had left to go back to New York, I got a ticket in the mail with a picture of Wolfgang driving my car. So I called Wolfgang. Wolfgang, you went through a red light in my car. Oh, maybe. I don't know. I said, Wolfgang, I've got the proof. Send me the money. He did. You're being watched. You're being watched. And don't think for a moment that when you're surfing the internet, there are people out there who are watching. They may very well be watching what it is you're looking at online. We're being watched. Just this past week, I talked with members of our congregation who are considering moving to another apartment complex. They're considering three different complexes. The wife says she's really interested in one particular one because of the security. I said, security? What kind of security? Well, there's cameras everywhere, she said. It makes me feel secure. I'm being watched. We're being watched. Well, today we're taking a look at the story of Daniel. And Daniel is one who is dedicated to living openly his faith in a way that others saw and watched. And because of what people saw, the way that they watched him live out his faith, he ends up in a lion's den. Now, there's a lot of lessons we can learn about this story of Daniel in the lion's den, but there, for our purposes today, I want to just look at two. The first is this. When you and I openly, transparently, and authentically live out our Christian faith, we have to realize that people are watching. The second lesson is this. When you and I openly, transparently, and authentically live out our Christian faith, we also have to realize that God is watching. Now, by the time we find Daniel in the sixth chapter of Daniel, he's up in age. He's about 80 years old or more at this point in his life. He's already lived as a high official under Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian Empire, but the Babylonian Empire has diminished. The Persian Empire now has taken over. Kind of think of it as Syria has diminished, and now Iraq has diminished, and the Persians from Iran have taken over. And he was such a good court official under the old previous administration of Nebuchadnezzar that King Darius the Persian thinks, hey, why don't you come and serve in my court as well? And he served so well that not only was he one of three top officials in the government, but Darius wanted to put him to the top position overseeing all of his government. This didn't go very well for the others. And they knew of him as someone who was different. He had a Jewish faith. He was different. And not only that, but they were jealous. Jealous, of course, of the fact that he was so well liked by the king and that now he would be overseeing them. They didn't like that. But as they looked at his life, they saw that, you know, he lived a good life. He was blameless. There wasn't anything that they could find in his character or in the way he conducted himself that they could bring before the king as an accusation against him so that he wouldn't come into that position. So this is what they say. They say, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. In other words, his character is impeccable. But maybe we can use his religion, his faith, against him. Now, Daniel was a person who lived very transparently. People saw his faith, right? He didn't try to hide it from anyone. He was dedicated to God as well as dedicated to his job. But they thought, we can somehow use this against him. So they devise a plan where they go to King Darius and they stroke his ego. You know, and they say, King, oh, live forever. Wouldn't you love to be worshipped alone for a given month so that other people aren't worshipping their other gods, but they only worship you? Wouldn't that be great? Wow, that does sound good, he thought to himself. Why not? And so he signs this into law. Well, of course, Daniel is a high court official. He would have heard about this very quickly. Now, he's got something to think about. Well, now that this law has been signed, I guess I could for a month be a little bit quieter about my faith. I could worship, you know, behind closed doors. I don't need to pray so publicly. I'll still pray to God. I'm not going to give up on my faith, but I could be a little bit more quiet about it. I just won't talk about God in public for a month. God will understand. He could have said that. But this is what he says instead. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. In other words, he says to himself, I'm not going to hide my faith. I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be me. I've always prayed to God 3 times a day. I'm going to keep praying to God 3 times a day. I'm not going to stop meditating on his word. I'm not going to stop spending time with him. I'm going to continue to serve my God as I've always served my God. And he was dedicated to that, to prayer, to worship, to spending time in God's word. He was dedicated to that. And as I mentioned, people were watching, including his enemies. And when his enemies saw what he was doing, they, of course, raced right back to the king, and now they've got him. He has broken the law. Now, Darius liked Daniel. Obviously, he was going to promote him to a high position. He liked him very much. And he realizes now that he's been manipulated by these underlings. He's been manipulated now to have to execute Daniel for breaking the law that he himself was asked to sign. And he's grieved about this, but he also realizes now he needs to follow through on his own laws. If he doesn't follow through on his own laws, nobody's going to respect any of his own laws. So he sends him off to the lion's den for execution. But this is what he says. King Darius says to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." In other words, even Darius had been watching Daniel. Even Darius had noticed what was going on in Daniel's life. He had seen it. And you might say he had faith in this God. Not necessarily firsthand faith in this God, but faith in Daniel's faith in this God. Sort of a secondhand faith. Let me ask you a question. I mean, would you have done what Daniel did? Would you have done what Daniel did? Would you have been willing to have been so public about your faith that it could have potentially cost you your life? Think about the situation which Daniel finds himself in versus the situation we find ourselves in. Daniel found himself into a situation where it was illegal for him to worship as he normally would worship. You and I live in a land of religious freedom. Our country is founded on this idea of religious freedom. You and I are free to exercise our faith without necessarily having anything bad happen to us. And yet, would you have done what Daniel did? For example, let's say it is your practice that at every mealtime you fold your hands, bow your head, and pray. I grew up in a household where we did that at every single meal, right? I mean, that's just what we did. Sometimes it was a rote prayer, sometimes not. But we always thank God. Remember my dad once saying, we're not like animals. We don't just go to the feed trough and start eating. We thank God for what he has given us. So let's say that's your practice. And let's say now you're with some people who are not Christians. They're not interested in the Christian faith. Would you still, in a moment like that, bow your head, fold your hands, and pray? I'm not asking you to make some big show of it or do anything that's not your normal practice. I'm just asking you, would you have the courage to simply, in a setting like that, do a simple bow your head, close your eyes, and a simple silent prayer? Because I would guess that in some of those situations, many of us would be reluctant to do so. Why? Well, we think to ourselves, I don't want to offend, right? I don't want to offend someone else, so I'm not going to talk about God unless I'm talking to people who are like-minded. I'm not going to pray in front of others. I'm going to keep that private. I would never read my Bible in public. I'll do that privately. Somehow we've mixed up personal and private in our Christian lives. While Christianity is always personal, my friends, it should never be private. We should live our lives authentically and openly and transparently. Because you and I may be the only Bible anybody ever reads. You and I, in our expressions of faith, may be the healthiest expressions of faith people ever see. Because when a lot of people who are not Christians hear about the Christian faith, they lump it with certain groups of Christians who say and do things that are quite distasteful. And they don't want anything to do with that. And most of us wouldn't either. But they never see an authentic Christian who's living an authentic Christian life in a way that is actually quite tasteful and quite beautiful and something that might be attractive to them. Why don't we do it? Well, I think it's because we're cowards. We're cowards when it comes to our Christian faith. Now, I have to say, you're in a little different situation than I am because I'm a professional Christian. I get paid to do this, right? I'm a pastor. And so people expect me to do this, right? I'm a pastor. So I get a little bit of, people say, well, yeah, he's a pastor. He does that. And so it's a little bit harder for you. I get that because you're not in that same situation. But do you have the courage to live your Christian faith authentically and transparently in all situations? Well, here's the good news. The God that Daniel prayed to and that ultimately delivers him is the same God you and I pray to and the one who delivers us. Jesus Christ himself has come to this world not in order to shame us for our cowardice-ness or to punish us for our sin, but rather to save us, to renew us, to redeem us, and to strengthen us. See, Jesus isn't just a picture up on the wall, right? Jesus is one who has come to be with us, to understand our difficulties, and ultimately to die so that we might be forgiven for our shortcomings. And not just die for them, but to rise again from the dead, so that we might have all the more assurance that our sins are forgiven. That God is for us and not against us, not shaming us for our cowardice-ness, but being with us, to love us, to enfold us in a circle of grace where we can live our lives confidently and securely in his love. And knowing that, we can now live our lives confidently and authentically like Daniel did. I believe Daniel believed that God was a living God who saves and rescues. That he's a God who loves and preserves and forgives. And because he knew God in that way, he could live his life confidently. Well, Daniel lived his life in such a way that people were watching. But here's the second lesson. He also found out very quickly that God was watching. Because while he was thrown into the lion's den, something was stirring within the king himself. We're told he couldn't sleep. We're told he couldn't eat. No diversions were brought to him, whatever those diversions were. He was simply preoccupied with what Daniel was going through. And the next morning, we find that the king wakes early, rushes to the lion's den, and says this, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And he waits, and he listens. And I can imagine, he's almost expecting to hear nothing but the purr of a satisfied lion. Right? I'm sure he's expecting not to find any evidence of Daniel at all. But instead, he hears these words, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. My God sent his angels. God was watching. And when God was watching what Daniel was going through, God wasn't simply sitting back watching. God was watching and active, present to save and to redeem his servant. God was there. But not just to save Daniel. Daniel was taken out of the lion's den. Not a scratch is found on him. But God is also watching and acting as Darius now makes a new decree. This is what we read. This is amazing. In verse 26, the king says, I decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. What? King Darius, the Persian king, is declaring that throughout his whole territory, everyone is to reverence the God of Daniel? Not only that, but at the end of Daniel, the part that Mike didn't read, because it didn't quite fit onto our bulletin, Darius continues to talk about this God of Daniel as the living God whose kingdom never ends, who is able to save and rescue his faithful. What? Does that sound like anybody to you? One whose kingdom endures forever, one who is a living God, one who saves and rescues his people? That sounds a lot like Jesus to me. And there he is, Darius, who's witnessed what has gone on in Daniel's life, is now become the preacher, is the one who's now declaring to his entire kingdom a God that they would not have heard of any other way, but for the fact that Darius has now seen what has gone on in Daniel's life. God is watching. God is active. God is involved in this situation. I just want you to remember that in your own life, no matter what it is you might be going through, God is watching. You may never find yourself in a lion's den, right? Either literally or even proverbially, but you may find yourself in some very difficult situations. You may be living your life authentically and transparently for others to see, and you think, well, I'm being faithful to God. I'm doing what God has asked me to do. God should be blessing this. But what you're finding instead is that you're in some relationships where there's some conflict around this, where there's some conversations that you're having that are hard to have, that there's some relationship breakdown that's occurring because of what you're simply trying to give is a testimony of your faith. And you're thinking, God, I'm doing what you've asked me to do. Why aren't you blessing me? And yet we have to remember, Daniel, at a certain point, didn't feel very blessed either. He did what God had asked him to do and ended up in the lion's den. But God was with him. God was watching. And my friends, God is watching you too. God is watching, and he is one who rescues and saves. He is with you. And who knows what your open, transparent, and authentic witness might mean for the sake of others. You may never know how it touches another life, but you are planting seeds. And others may water those seeds, but you may very well be bringing growth into the lives of others. Just think about this for a moment. Think about the similarities between Daniel and Jesus. Right? Both are accused, right, by a king. Both are innocent. Both are, in effect, sentenced to death. The difference, of course, is that Jesus is actually put to death and raised from the dead, and that he is the Son of God. But both are put into a cave that's filled with fear and filled with death. And both come forth alive and well to the glory of God. And I just pray today that you and I might all have the heart of faith that Daniel had. A heart of faith that realizes that when we live our lives of faith authentically, others will be watching. And that no matter what you might be going through, God is watching. God is watching to be with you, no matter what it is you might find yourself in this life. So I pray that you might have the faith and the heart of a Daniel. And that no matter whatever cave of fear and death you might find yourself in, I just want you to remember this one thing. That it's within the cave that God has done some of his very best work. To God be the glory. Amen.